We're floating like butterflies and stinging like bees. Rumble, you badass jet pilots, rumble. Welcome to the Wingman Show. I'm Drew Brown. We're here to inspire, entertain, and learn so we can all grow. Happiness and serenity are the keys. You, my friend, my wingman, my main man, I'd like to introduce to you Dr. Paul Thompson. Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Mr. Drew. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard from the one and only Drew Brown, Dark Gable, the American Dream. He's the man, the myth, the legend. He's the pilot's pilot, the role model's role model, and most importantly, his royal fullness. Thank you for listening to the podcast, looking at the podcast. And if you could, please remember to like, share, and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. We would appreciate it. I'm doing very good this morning, Mr. Drew. How are you?
I'm doing great. You ready to start this show?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, check this out. Do you think a fat cop is more likely to shoot you than a cop who is in shape, especially if they're chasing you?
Maybe. It depends. I think it depends on what you've done and what the motivation is to get you. If it's something small.
You're black and they don't know what you did.
Or they don't know.
Is a fat cop, either black or white, more likely to use his weapon in a chase than a cop that's in shape? That's all I'm asking. Mentally, is he quicker to use his weapon? Because I think the answer is yes. I think he thinks more of his weapon to protect him than himself. So, you know, in the Navy, remember when they started with the PT, the physical training, and you had to have certain conditions? Because they used to have Navy chiefs that were super fat.
Yeah,
and PFT. Big, PFTs, that's right. Yeah. And that means you had to have a certain level of physical fitness to continue or to even advance. And remember, there were a lot of fat chiefs who had 16, 17, 18, 19 years who couldn't get the weight off and they couldn't retire and they kicked them out. I won't ever forget that. It happened during the time I was in the Navy.
Yeah, it started just as I was leaving and it was rough. I saw folks getting in shape, trying to get shape who hadn't been shape in, you know, 20, 30 years, as old as middle-aged people, and it's tougher. I think, you know, you talk about, you know, fat cops. I think there's a difference between just being fat and obese.
I meant obese.
Like private security.
Out of shape. Guys. Fat, out of shape, obese. Not heavy, not big boned.
Yeah, big bones. Yeah, big bones.
No, none of that. I'm just saying, did you notice that the Navy now has a different appearance? All of them look like they are physically fit, God forbid, to go to war.
I think all the services are like that now, actually.
Correct.
They're all like
correct.
That.
So all I'm saying is, shouldn't our law enforcement, because obesity does have something to do with self-control. It is a drug, once again, as we talked about. It's not because you're a bad person. It's not because of whatever people are talking about. It's something that needs to be addressed. True. Just like this goddamn shooting. You know what? I got a question about these shootings because it's gotten out of control. I even told you I didn't want to talk about it because everybody else is talking about it. But this is what I want to know. How come all these politicians are rushing to start making everybody having to register to vote, this big registration push? You have to have license, you have to have this, you have to have that. And yet you can get a goddamn gun any kind of way you want. Why aren't they rushing to at least make guns registration harder? So at least I have a lot of guns. I love my guns. I don't mind putting my name on it because I don't plan on doing anything wrong. But that's just kind of weird. With all these shootings, nobody's talking about getting guns out of hands of mentally unstable people.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think, unfortunately, with the culture as it is, there are a lot more mentally unstable people than before. Now, you know, some people would argue, say, well, no, it's the same amount. You're just hearing about it more. Well, I think both are true. I think, yeah, you're hearing about it more. And you got even more crazier people. I've seen them personally. Not just in New York City. I've seen them in little podunk towns. It's not, yeah, on the subway, New York subway, you'll get a show.
100%.
50 years ago, you get a show. It's usually a good show. Sometimes it's a bad show. But mm-hmm. I've seen crazy folks, you know, in a town of like 20,000.
My theory is the ratio of crazy people, and I don't want to call them crazy, but That's what society calls them. But truly mentally unstable people, truly with medical problems. The ratio is the same. But in New York, let's just say it's 1 out of 100,000. So if you got a town of 50,000 people, you might not even have somebody unstable in the town. But in New York, you have so many people crowded together, you might have 6 on that subway.
Yes. Yes.
So the ratio is the same. It's up in this, just in the city, there's that many people that they sometimes actually interact.
Yes. 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 Yeah. That's the interesting thing about the subway and mass transit. You can have paupers and billionaires that literally rub shoulders.
Yes. Well, guess what? That's where I'm going. And that's why we're doing the show a day early. I'm going to New York because one of my best friends who I grew up with, Danny Rappaport, his son, Harry, is getting married. And you know how you used to say, hey, I knew you before you were even a thought. Well, this is one of those kids. I knew him way before he was a thought. I mean, I know his father 50 years, easy. Anyway, I'm going to New York City. And he's such a good kid. You know, he's into business. They both went to really good schools. I think he went to Duke. I'm not sure, and I'll have to check. But anyway, he's such a good kid. He sent me an email, sent everybody in the wedding party an email. Can you please send us a photo or bring your vaccination card? Okay. Or proof of your negative outcome in your COVID test. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, he's up on it. So I went and got my card, took a picture of it and sent it to him, which I thought was very adult of me. Mm-hmm. No, I really did it real, real quickly. So I didn't want him to worry or anything. So I sent it to him. He sent me an email back, said, where's your second shot? Me being a smart mouth and just thinking he's joking, because him and my friend Dan, we joke all the time. Anyway, I said, where's my second shot? In my arm. And then he wrote back. He said, but it's not on your card. And I was like, what are you talking about? And look at my card. They did not sign the card the second time. So he saved me. God forbid I had to go to the airport or something. He saved me a big hassle. Called him up, got it all taken care of. That's not the point. Now they're saying with this new Delta variant, if you're not vaccinated, you are likely to get sick and die. So are people still not going to get vaccinated? Because I hate to say this, but my daughter a long time ago said, you know what? If they're that stupid, just let them die. And I thought that was that wasn't me. I can't just say let them die. I think God makes life is so easy so stupid people can still play. That's what. I'm not allowed to say stupid. Actually, my mother would call the show right now, call somebody and say, son, I taught you better than that. Don't use the word stupid. So I take it all back. Anyway, these people who obviously didn't go to science or don't have an education and are not getting vaccines and children, how about this, are going to get sick, Paul, if they don't get the vaccine.
Sound like the Ayatollah. The Ayatollah has the same feeling, you know, in terms of your daughter. You know, he believes that if you're that dumb, I think what he says, it's best to clean out the gene pool, you know, while you can. Get rid of the driftwood. He actually says a lot worse stuff than that, but that's the PG version of it. Yeah, you're crazy if you don't get a vaccination now. I mean, I didn't like it. I don't want to have anything. You know, I don't even want to take any kind of medicine, but there's some things that do help me, whether I like it or not. I try to supplement it with good nutritional things. And one thing no one has emphasized yet, in terms of the COVID or any of this other stuff going on, is the importance of having a good immune system and a good diet. They haven't said anything about diet and exercise. It's all shots. Once again, you're missing the boat. You say, well, that's not going to save you. It's going to help. Your strong immune, it's going to help. You can't eat all this garbage junk food and expect to be protected from everything. The medicine is not going to be a prophylactic to keep you from yourself. You got to take care of yourself. You know, in terms of the COVID stuff. Now, what I did, they said, don't laminate your card. I want to have proof with me at all times. So what I did, I made a copy of it and I laminate the copy and I carry the laminated copy and I've got the original downstairs somewhere. But the card they give you is kind of janky anyway. It's like someone thought about it for like about 5 minutes and put it together. It looks pretty bad, but I think eventually you're going to need it to travel internationally. Maybe that's what they're working on this G7 meeting on. But anyway, the people who watch the Wingman show, you're watching the Wingman show, and you're smart enough, you know how to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast, so you'll be up on all the latest stuff. So the people we talk about being dumb, you're not one of them. So don't worry about it. We're not talking about you. We're talking about people you probably know. So hopefully you can tell them to, you know, get on the right foot, use their brains, stop eating all this garbage and junk and carbohydrates too much. Yeah, I have a few chips now and then if I'm home too long. But, you know, break a sweat 3 times a week, eat some decent food, drink a lot of water, and that's going to help you if you take no medicine. That's my soliloquy.
Well, that's because you're a good wingman, and not only a good wingman to me, but you're a good wingman now to all the listeners out there, because if they take your advice, look, on the Facts in Life, on the post, it says, the goal is a long, healthy, and happy life. And that's what we're shooting for. So, you know, you were talking about the G7, and yeah, that's the big world summit that's going on. Why don't you tell me a little bit about it, or tell our listeners a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, you know, they didn't invite me, but I always wonder, you know, what they're talking about. My wife is wondering if they're cracking all kinds of jokes from behind the doors. But that G7 is with the 7 biggest industrial economies. You got the U.S., Canada, Great Britain, France, Germany, Italy, and Japan. They don't include Russia. They used to include Russia. They used to be the G8. Russia got kicked out because they invaded Crimea, I think, in 2014. So they got on the bad list, and China is a competitor. So the biggest thing I guess I got out of it is they're meeting to levy taxes on everybody. I think they agreed on this before, but the corporate taxes are going to be a minimum of 15%, I guess, in all those countries. They're trying to make it worldwide so that everybody doesn't try to leave the United States or just get everything done with no taxes anywhere and have your tax home in Ireland, and you're making a killing with all your workers in the U.S. So they're kind of spreading out the tax thing. And I think they're also trying to recoup some money spent from all this COVID stuff.
That's true. And what about the President Biden? Our President Biden now is going to meet with Russia. By the time this podcast comes out, he would have already met with the Russian president. And the worst thing I heard is that the Russian president has nothing to lose, nothing to gain, and he's just there.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, I think they're having it right now as we speak. Right now as we speak.
They didn't invite you to that either?
No, they didn't invite me. Not the translators.
Well, they missed the right guy. Okay, you know, right guy, you and I are pilots, always will be pilots, always will be badass jet pilots. But how about this? How about unruly passengers? And how about if you were the captain and you had an unruly passenger, or you were in the cabin and you saw an unruly passenger? Because I actually had something happen to me. This drunk guy got up and tried to open the door.
Oh, when you're on the airplane?
Yes, I was in first class. He got right up, tried to run and grab the door. Me not being that scared, because he can't open the door because of the cabin pressure. But still, the mere fact that he's that crazy,
right,
I had to physically subdue him. And he didn't give me a problem. He was so drunk, he thought we were there.
Okay.
So that actually happened to me. But that was a long time ago, and it didn't cause a ruckus, because like I said, when I grabbed him, he was like, what? And I said, what are you doing? He said, we're home. No. And he put him back in his sleep, drank some more whiskey maybe, and just passed out. I don't know. But what would you do, Captain Thompson?
Well, it sounds like you had a kindler and gentler drunk. The stuff that's going on now is not like that at all. They're fighting. They're acting crazy. If you're in the airplane, you know, that was one of the benefits of flying cargo. Most of the time, there's only two crazy people in the airplane, and they're up front flying. You know, everybody's a little bit off.
The best job in the world was flying cargo and not people.
Yeah. It might be one other person. It might be maybe two others in addition to you, maybe three others in addition to you. So the craziness, you know, kind of went down. But I mean, you know, the rules are that the cockpit stays locked. They have the FFDO program, which are federal flight deck officers, federal flight deck duty officers. I used to be one, went through the training, and you're not supposed to open the cockpit door if you have a cockpit door.
No, but what does that mean when you an FFDO? No, simply means you can carry a gun.
You can carry a gun.
Guns up there.
Yeah, you have guns. Yeah, they're armed. They're armed. It may be one, maybe both of them. And if you breach the cockpit, they are permitted to shoot you in the cockpit.
So what would you do, once again, with this unruly passenger thing, if it was happening now? Because the captain of this airplane said, hey, all of you strong males, come up front and kick his ass.
Basically, yeah.
Subdue him.
Yeah.
They made an emergency landing, and they got him off the plane. And he was a flight attendant.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if it's a he, so I shouldn't be saying that, he or she. But they were a flight attendant. And if you don't remember, but not to, I mean, I guess it's a long time ago, another flight attendant pulled the slide. And remember, opened the door and pulled the slide?
Yeah, that was in JFK. Also. I won't say the airline, but it was JFK. I think he just wanted to leave. He opened the door and slid down the wing, and he was gone for the day.
That's right.
You know, he just left. The airplane was either taxiing or about to taxi. So you got all kinds of nutty people. Some work for the airlines, and some are the traveling public. It's scary.
Would you have called those passengers? Would you have done that?
You know, I've never had passengers. I don't know if I would have thought that, to be honest with you. That might even be part of their protocol now. I don't know. I've never heard of that before. You know, to say, well, I would have done that. I can't say that honestly. That's a strange one. I think more in terms of being a passenger. That's where they've got the decisions to make. So I see these things. These people, they're flailing around. And one thing about fighting.
What about these fights? What if you were on the plane? Okay, forget the captain, because they really, unless they're trying to get into the cockpit, they can't do that much damage, and you can land.
Yes.
So let me ask you this: what if you're a passenger? And these idiots, and you know what I'm talking about, and you know the type of people I'm talking about, so I don't want to downplay it, they start fighting. Do you get involved? Do you stay out of it? Do you film it? What do you do, Paul? You actually have martial arts experience.
I think it's a function. Where is the airplane? Is it airborne or is it on the ground?
Airborne.
If it's airborne and it's really close to you, you really need to stop it. Sometimes I've seen stuff it's with males, it could be males and females, females and females, males. It's all kinds of crazy stuff. The scariest ones I've seen are, you know, over the water, international flights, and a lot of times alcohol or drugs seem to be a central part.
No kidding. Come on, Paul. Are you kidding? Whiskey's part of the problem.
Well, they're nuts, and they're very, very dangerous. This is where, you know, and it's kind of hard to fight in a confined space. This is where Jeet Kune Do is kind of good. Little Kung Fu works, because it's not, you know, you don't have a dojo, you don't have a street. You got a few inches. It's hard enough to find a seat to sit down in, and now you got to maneuver. So you see everybody's got their arms moving, and then nothing else is happening. And it goes on forever and ever, because nobody can really get a good punch in.
No.
You never see anybody knocked out.
You know what I would do? I would, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I would have done it without thinking about it and talking to you, but what I would do is stand back and get some other passengers and have a plan instead of going in like Batman or Superman. First of all, my Harlem experience would let me know if I should even approach the situation or not. If I have a 0% chance of winning, I have a 0% chance of going in. Common sense, I'm from the streets and I know what I'm doing when I'm doing it.
Right. And you got to evaluate what's happening too, because sometimes there are, you know, if it's a hijacking thing, that might just be a diversion, a distraction. So yeah, my initial thought would be I'd look for friends. Who else is involved? That's the first thing I would do. That's the very first thing I would do.
I know why they were fighting.
They're arguing between what? Tastes great, less filling, tastes great.
I know why they were fighting, though. I know why those passengers got in a fight.
Why?
Because of the bad news I'm about to tell you.
What's that?
Kardashians, they're coming off of television after 20 seasons. They now signed a multi-million dollar contract with Hulu. And those passengers were probably really upset about that.
Oh, no. Okay.
Can you believe they've been on 20 years, though?
I can honestly say I've never seen one episode. I've heard the names. And that's all I know. What have I missed in 20 years?
Nothing. Nothing that I know of, because I haven't really watched it either. I've seen when they talk about basketball players, Lamar Odom and the other guy, that's the only time I even hear the Kardashians or could care less about them.
You know, I heard, who is it? The comedian, I don't know if this is proper, but there was some comedian that said that Kardashians had ruined more black men than diabetes. I don't know if that's true or not. That's kind of mean. And I don't know what the basis of it. You can think about that for a minute.
Oh, my God. That was funny, Paul. That was a good one. I want you to think about this, Paul. An ancient African proverb, and I'm going to just throw this out there real quick. An ancient African proverb said, if a child is not welcomed in the village, he will burn it down just to feel the warmth. And that statement right there is pretty true. And we had a movie that came out called Thug Life. And Thug stood for the hate you give little infants, F-U-C-K-S, everyone. And I think they both basically say you need to take care of these children because they do grow up. You know, instinctively, I take care of children. Instinctively, my dad used to shake hands with people. And he would take his pinky and interlock it with your pinky. And he would say, give me the little ones because the big ones can take care of themselves. And that's how he would shake your hand. So I just threw that out there for, you know, just some food for thought. But both of them are basically saying we need to take care of our children. And it's mighty funny. The two people that get forgotten are the young and the old. And what's funny is because we were all young and God bless, if we do kind of the things that you're talking about, we'll all get old. You know, thanks for being my wingman. I want to tell you a wingman story. But do you have anything to say before that on the African proverb or Thug Life?
Well, I guess on both, basically, yeah, you got to take care of people. I'm looking at the mall recently, the upscale mall here in the Atlanta area. There's two 15-year-olds, a boy and girl, that shot a security guard. They think they were trying to get his key so they can get into an Apple store. And the security guard is, you know, is in bad shape. I don't know. I don't think he's passed away. But you've got a lot of young folks out of control. You got a lot of people out of control in general, but the young seem to get it the worst. Some are out of control and some are also targeted.
Not educating them. Look, it's a circle. Remember, everything you do comes back to you. We have not been educating kids for a long time. And these kids are growing up. These kids are not kids anymore.
Right.
And the reason I don't think we educate kids or care about kids is because kids don't vote. Let 10-year-olds vote and see how good the elementary schools are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're right. And I see all these bumper stickers sometimes. In Tennessee, they're big. You know, my student is a star honor student at Umpty Frats Elementary or Middle School. Well, that's cool. Everybody's an honor student. Everybody gets a trophy. They're all MVPs. And that's, you know, we're lying to everybody. They're like, you know, you're not an honor student. You're not even adequate. You know, compared to who? I mean, you've got to ask that. I mean, I know folks that, you know, I graduated such and such and da-da-da-da and at the school of William Garfinkel School of whatever, and, you know, can barely count to 10. So you've got to have some kind of competition and some real education and some rigor, what they call R-I-G-O-R, some kind of educational rigor. You have to work at things. Handwriting is one of them. You've taken so much out of programs now, you know, people ask, you know, what do you actually do? Not just indoctrination with ideas, but can you do the basic things?
That's true.
If I wanted to do something in code, a secret code, I could just write in cursive.
They could never read it.
I could just write in cursive. You know, good penmanship in cursive.
You know, in the Facts in Life poster, it says education is necessary, but knowledge is mandatory. So it's not how much education you have; it's how much you actually learn. So I want to give you my wingman story for the show. And the wingman is one of my bestest friends in the whole world. And he is now known as Mikey Mouth. I will just say that. And he's one of these kind of friends, Paul. You know, like if you and I don't speak for a couple of years, as soon as we talk, it's like we never stop speaking. Well, Mikey Mouth and I are that tight. And I met him in Memphis a long, long time ago. I can't remember how many years, but it's a long time ago. I was flying for FedEx, and, you know, I have Great Danes.
Yes.
And Mikey was an excellent landscaper. I mean, he's like the best. I wouldn't even let my neighbors have him because he made my lawn look so good. You know, I didn't want competition, but he was that good. Anyway, he came and started doing my lawn, and he went into the backyard, and my big Great Dane Bo was back there. Mm-hmm. And I was standing by my car in the driveway, and the next thing I knew, the trimmer was in the air. The blower was in the air, and Mikey was running full speed. Keep your money. Keep your money. Keep your money. And he ran across the street. And Bo wasn't really chasing him, but Bo comes, you know, he left the gate open, so Bo came, and he was next to me, and I grabbed Bo. And I walked Bo to the street. So imagine this. I'm on one side of the street. Mikey is on the other side. And I said, Mikey, do you think I would let my dog bite you? Because he knew who I was through TV and everything. Uh-huh. And we really had a good rapport at that time. But, you know, we weren't best friends. But Mikey's so smart. He actually stood there. He thought about what I actually said. He knew who I was. We had talked before. And he came up with the conclusion, hell no, he's not going to let his dog bite me. He came over, petted Bo, and we've been friends forever. He traveled with me when I was doing The American Dream. When I was doing all these, he's been with me to Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia. He's been with me all over the South. He's been with me in schools with dirt floors. So he's heard all my speeches. I love Mikey. Just so amazingly, I love Mikey. And the reason I'm really shouting him out is he's the reason that we're doing the show right now, because I've been wanting to do this for a very long time. And Mikey Mouth finally, and I call him Mikey Mouth just for everybody to know, is because his language can be very colorful sometimes. And so that's why him and the Ayatollah kind of, you know, he's my Ayatollah. And he has very similar thoughts about certain things that I don't even want to go into. So it's another thing that you and I have very, very similar. I have an Ayatollah too, but his name is Mikey Mouth, and he's one of my bestest friends of all time. And he told me, Drew, just do the show, damn it. And on my birthday, we started rehearsing, and we've worked almost every day since then on my birthday, January 20th.
Okay, well, I can say, well, Mikey Mouth, thank you very much. When you go to your wedding, attend the wedding, remember to tell everybody to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast.
It'll
make them smarter.
I got to tell you this, Paul. Everybody I meet, I don't care who it is. What's your telephone number? Because I'm sending them the link. I have no shame in that. And so many people have really enjoyed this. I've even gotten quotes that people say to make it longer. I love you, Paul. Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for having me on. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember to like, share, and subscribe. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. We'd appreciate it.
100%. We hope you enjoyed our show. We truly thank you for your time. It's our most valuable commodity. So we're still floating like butterflies and stinging like bees. Rumble, you badass jet pilots, rumble. Dr. Paul Thompson, Drew Brown, we both say goodbye. See you guys later.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.